We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is a morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we get ready to welcome in fans from around the country to come into the Sweet 16 here into Atlanta on Thursday and Saturday. But and honestly, not the subset of fans that we thought we were going to get in town. There are probably a lot of hotel rooms in this town that were canceled since the top four seeds from the South Regional all were eliminated. No Arizona, no Virginia, no Cincinnati, and no Tennessee. So I would imagine, Hugh, a lot of flights got canceled and a lot of hotels got canceled as well.
Oh, some people that couldn't get their money back, John, they're going to make that trip. They're just going to make the best of it. Yeah, right. I mean, what can you do?
You're right.
Because some of those, like, I know for a fact, like, either those tickets or those hotel rooms, you can't get that refund back. You can't get that that booking fee or whatever. You can't get that back. Well, you might as well suck it up.
If you're a college basketball fan, you're a Tennessee fan, and, you know, you've already made plans. You may just come down and make a weekend out of it anyway. I mean, you get to go to the Sweet 16 and watch some good college basketball, even if your team's not there. But we never expected this four to be here. Well, Kentucky's going to be here, and you could prepare that on Thursday, by Wednesday night and into Thursday, into the weekend, that Kentucky is going to paint this town Kentucky blue.
They're going to be deep.
Yep.
They're going to be deep.
Kentucky against
be deep.
Kansas State, and then the other game nobody had, Loyola against Nevada.
Now, that's a nice little trip. How long is that driving down from the Shire? That's about, what, 12 hours?
Yeah, probably.
That's about 12, yeah. 13 hours. That's a nice little strong drive. So, yeah, it's going to be some cats not coming down for that, too.
And nobody driving from Reno.
Nah.
No.
Not unless you're just a Viking. Like, you just like a nice little road trip.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get into talking about some of the other big stories in town, including the explosion on offense that is Atlanta United. We welcome into the program on the WayForward.com hotline the play-by-play voice of Atlanta United, our buddy Mike Connie. Morning,
Mike Conte.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Sound like you were a little excited this weekend calling the game. You starting to get warmed up to it a little bit, aren't you?
You know me, Hugh. I'm easy to get excited. You throw a jar of peanut butter or a pizza in front of my face, and I'm going to get excited. So when Atlanta United starts scoring goals, that adds to it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Really grateful for the opportunity, but these last two matches have been a lot of fun.
So is it safe to say now, Mike Conte, with the way that they're playing and the way that they're scoring, is that that first game against the Houston Dynamo was somewhat of a fluke?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was a fluke. You got to give fair play to Houston. They obviously they dominated that match, and Atlanta United, to me, that first match, that looked like two different teams. One had played a bunch of preseason matches and scored a lot of goals. The other did not play a lot of preseason matches and did not score a lot of goals in the preseason. And that was the difference between Houston Dynamo and Atlanta United. I'm not saying Atlanta United wasn't prepared for that first match, but they made a lot of first match mistakes. A lot of turnovers in the defensive third. As we had talked about, you know, they kind of found out at the last minute that Barco wasn't going to be able to play. They kept Parkhurst out of the starting 11. So it was just kind of a scramble and survive mode for Atlanta United and Houston. I think the last 2 weeks with the 3-5-2, we're seeing a little bit better of a picture of what Atlanta United is going to be in its final form. But I wrote a column for 92.9thegame.com that's going to go up later this morning. The most exciting thing for me, guys, is they've scored 7 goals in 2 matches. They lead the league or co-lead the league in goals, and Barco hasn't even played yet. So imagine when they finally get him into the fold, and that could be as soon as 2 weeks from now in Minnesota.
Right. That's, you know, the enticing thing about this club is that they could be even more of an offensive juggernaut than they are now, an offensive juggernaut that has allowed Joseph Martinez to have 4 hat tricks, Mike Connie, in 23 games played. And the MLS record for the 20-plus years the league has been around is 5. He's done it in 23 games.
Yeah, I mean, Jason and I were talking about that on the full-time report Saturday night. It's almost unbelievable, isn't it, that that he could have that many hat tricks in so few matches, because remember, he had injury problems last year, and he was on his way to winning Golden Boot, and then he got hurt, and he had to miss a bunch of time, and that probably prevented him from getting the Golden Boot, the goal-scoring title in MLS. But, I mean, to have four hat tricks, I think it's a testament to him, but it's also a testament to his teammates. I mean, that hat trick goal that he scored at the end on Saturday night, and that was a beautiful ball put in there by Andrew Carlton, a 17-year-old from Powder Springs. You know, the breakaway goal, yes, he was dropped at the center stripe, but Almiron put a nice ball ahead for him that he could get to in stride. So Martinez has got to finish these. I mean, no doubt about it. We saw that with his penalty kick. I mean, he's a great finisher. But he's got to get the service from his teammates. And he got that last week, obviously, when he scored against DC United. And he got it three times this week when he probably could have had a fourth. I mean, Aaron Mond of Vancouver put that one in himself, where we could have been talking about an extremely rare four-goal game. But Joseph Martinez now leads the league in goals scored. Almiron leads the league in shots taken. So, you know, the statistical evidence is there that Atlanta United is playing the attacking soccer that Tata Martino wants them to play.
You know, one question about Almiron. You mentioned he leads the league, and Miggy does, with 21 shots taken. Boy, he has missed. It's almost as though Mike Conley, he'll score goals when he's got two guys draped over him or from an improbable angle. But if he's right in front of the goal all alone, he's going to miss.
Well, I mean, boy, there was a 3-on-1 break in the first half on Saturday with Dejalba, Almiron, and Martinez. 9 times out of 10, if you get those three guys on a 3-on-1 break, they're going to score. And they just couldn't finish. And Almiron had a couple, you know, I'm sure he'd like to have him back. I mean, poor touches that led to the blown finishes. But the bottom line is this. If he's taking 21 shots, I think the number is pretty crazy. He's taken 21 shots, but I want to say like a half dozen or less are actually on target. I still like the fact that he's shooting his shot, to use a Hugh Douglas term, because at least it's holding the defense accountable. It's giving the keeper some work. You know, you never know, you could get a deflection that could set up a corner kick. So, you know, I like the fact that he's at least making attempts on goal.
Mike, I don't know how far you looked ahead, but Minnesota United, they got Minnesota United coming up on the 31st, so they got a little bit of time off. What have you seen so far, if I'm not projecting too far out from them in that matchup against them?
No, you aren't. It's actually going to be a pretty big game, because Minnesota United has also won twice, and they have to be feeling pretty good about themselves. Now, you have to take into account the two sides that they've beaten, Chicago Fire and Orlando City, two sides that aren't very good right now. Minnesota is going to play this week. There's a FIFA break in MLS this week. Only half the teams are playing. Atlanta United obviously is not. Minnesota United is. But you're going to be playing a night game outdoors on March 31st up there in Minneapolis, where the weather, you have to think it's at least going to be cold, if not snowing, or some kind of factor. That's going to be a very tough match, and I think it's going to be a good barometer match for Atlanta United to see, okay, how far have they come since Houston? Because they're clearly a much better side at home, right, when you can put those 45,000 or 72,000 fans behind them, and they can kind of ride that wave of sound. It's a lot different in MLS when you go on the road. When you go on the road, you're just trying to survive and extract a point and get a draw. Now, obviously, Atlanta United scored 6 goals up there last year, but I think the Loons are a lot better than they were when Atlanta United saw them last year.
I'm actually correcting our schedule, because I looked and you said it's a night game up there. I thought, it's an afternoon game. And oh, that's right. They moved it from April 1st to March 31st. Do you know what time?
Right. It was going to be Easter Sunday, and from what I understand, I think they were a little worried about ticket sales. So Atlanta United and Minnesota United mutually agreed to move it to the night before Easter.
All right, so do you know what time that kick is? I'm updating our...
it will be 8:30 Atlanta time, 7:30 in Minneapolis.
I'm going to put that on our nose here, 8:30 kickoff Eastern time. Mike Conley joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline as we talk about Atlanta United. Now, this week, the big news for Atlanta United is going to be the debut game for Atlanta United 2. For lack of a better term,
right,
this is their AAA team. They're going to be playing at Colray Field in Gwinnett County. Their first game comes up Saturday night. against New York Red Bulls, too. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster. I think they're $15 to get into the game, but they're expecting huge crowds for this game to see Atlanta United 2's debut game, and that means a chance to see, you know, some of those youngsters, like maybe an Andrew Carlton, play a full game.
Well, Carlton won't be there because he's going to Europe with the – in fact, he's in Europe now. He flew last night. He's in Europe with the U.S. under-20 national team, as is Chris Goslin, which would be another guy that you might have planned on seeing this week. But he's going to be in Europe. You're still almost certainly going to see Lagos Kunga. Oliver Shannon will probably be there. I don't know what John Gallagher's injury situation is, but, I mean, you're going to see maybe Miles Robinson. You're going to see a lot of guys. It's a little bit different than the AAA Major League comparison because, you know, in AAA you might have one guy who's on the cusp of getting up to the Braves and you want to see him. I think with Atlanta United, too, you're going to see multiple players who are kind of on that edge of getting into the 18 with the first team. So that's going to be very exciting. In the column that I wrote for 92.9thegame.com this morning, which hopefully will be posted later this morning, I talked about how I think the plan now, John, for Carlton has to change. If you would have asked me a couple weeks ago, you know, when they were playing down in Charleston, that Challenge Cup, I would have thought Carlton would be the number 10 for Atlanta United 2. He'd play a lot of 90-minute matches there, and they would try to get him seasoning in USL. I think it's gotten to the point now. We clearly saw it on Saturday with the beautiful assist he had to set up the hat trick to Martinez that Carlton is going to be a consistent in the 18 player for the first team every week. So now it becomes a little bit hard to balance. You know, do you want to get him 90-minute matches at USL or do you want to keep him up with the first team? Where is he going to get better? What is he going to benefit from? And that's a real dilemma for Atlanta United. But right now I would think, just based on the way we've seen him deployed the last 2 weeks, that he is going to be up with the first team.
Talking soccer with Mike Connie here, I tend to agree with you. I think it's probably going to be a little bit of both. They're going to have to get him some 90-minute matches. If they get into some matches where, you know, you get into a stretch where they leave him, you know, they can't bring him into games, you know, not that he's not ready to contribute, but, you know, that they don't want to break the lineup and it's 3-4 games in a row that he doesn't get to see the field, then I think you have to kind of, you know, make a point of getting him some playing time at ATL UTD 2. So we'll see at United 2. Mike, as we talk about this, we go forward here. You know, the Houston game, we said we could scratch it off the books if they come out against DC United and Vancouver and get 4 points. They don't get 4, they get 6. They don't get just 3 goals, they get 7 and show that you could kind of, you know, throw that one out the, you know, just throw it out the window and okay, let's move on from here.
Yeah, I mean, it's all working. I think that's what I'm really encouraged by, is everything seems to be clicking. I mean, yeah, there were a couple floppy plays in front of goal on Saturday, really in the attacking third and the defensive third. And you know, as well as Carlton played to set up that goal for Martinez, he did have a giveaway that created the Vancouver goal and ruined the clean sheet. So, I mean, those are little things you want to clean up. We talked, obviously, about the 3-on-1 in the first half that they blew and they couldn't score upon. But for the most part, it's working. You know, moving Larenowicz up into the midfield has helped. Darlington Nagbe, I think now we clearly see the effect that he has here because he was the most accurate passer in MLS last year. And Atlanta United passed at 93% on Saturday. Now, Vancouver doesn't like possessing the ball a lot, so it might be somewhat misleading based on the opponent. But I don't care if you're playing against a side that's down three men being red carded. To pass at 93% when you've had 650 passes is crazy. So Nagbe has been a really, really good link there to help that along. Almiron passed very well. Julian Gressel had a very good match, and he controlled the ball nicely down the right wing.
Yes, he did.
The own goal that was put in by Mon.
Right.
So it's all working right now. It didn't work that way in Houston, but the last two matches, it has been working.
Yeah, just to that point, I didn't mean to step in here, but I just want to get in before we run out of time. Mike Connie, play-by-play voice of Atlanta United. I need to see a little bit more consistency out of Gressel. I agree with you. You know, rookie of the year last year, I still have high hopes that he's going to be a star in this league, but I need him to be that guy all the time and not disappear like he does sometimes.
Totally agree, but I think he's had two really good matches in a row, hasn't he? So, I mean, this is a good step forward for him. It's going to be hard. You know, you don't pay a $15 million transfer fee to put Barco on the bench. So Barco's going to be a starter when he's healthy and ready. Who comes out of the 11? And is it Gressel?
Is it Gressel, right?
Or is it Vajava? I mean, that would be awfully hard to do. But, I mean, it's a good problem to have. You have a lot of depth and embarrassment of riches up there. But, it's going to be a very, very difficult decision for Tana to make in a couple weeks. Now, they're saying that Barco could possibly be back in time for that Minnesota match. So we might know the decision sooner rather than later.
All right, we'll talk to you about that as we continue. Thanks, Mike. Do appreciate you taking a few minutes.
You're the man, Mike.
All right, guys.
All right, that is Mike Connie, play-by-play voice of Atlanta United against Atlanta United 2 opens its first ever game, Colray Field, Saturday night. According to Ticketmaster, there are tickets available, which sort of surprises me a little bit because I expect that game will be sold out
on Saturday. Still a little bit of time. Yeah. Still a little bit of time. You still get tickets.
And then the Atlanta United will go on the road for a game a week from Saturday against Minnesota United, and they'll be back on April the 7th for two home games, first against two tough home games against L.A. Football Club and New York City Football Club. It's time for you to get $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Ride. You're going to ride in style if you have $1,000 in your pocket. Ride, R-I-D-E, to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive while you're riding. You can probably text and ride. R-I-D-E, 72881, 72881. RIDE to 72881, and hopefully you win $1,000 in our national signing bonus. Well, a lot going on here. Deshaun Tate is our NCAA tournament expert. He's going to join us with his thoughts on this wild Sweet 16 that we are sitting in front of. Who are the favorites now in the NCAA tournament?
And your NFL veteran.
Yeah, that's right.
This is John and Hugh
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Are your brackets all busted? Join the group of everybody, okay? Just saying. Because everybody's brackets are busted. Buzzer beaters and number ones knocked out and things we've never seen before in an NCAA tournament ever. Welcome back to the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we get ready now for a Sweet 16 that I'm pretty sure nobody in America had these Sweet 16 teams in their bracket. Pretty sure that nobody had that. We welcome into the program on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can follow him at Tate Take Sports. He is Deshaun Tate. He is our NCAA tournament and March Madness expert. Deshaun, what up?
What up, though? How you doing, John?
I'm doing good, man.
So, Deshaun, right off the bat, did your bracket get blown up this weekend?
HD, my bracket was blown up this weekend thanks to my own team. I figured if it was going to get blown up, it might as well be my own team to be the ones to do it. So that's ultimately one of the reasons why it blown up. Obviously, the 16 beating the 1 blew it up first. So that was actually a game that I didn't have on my bracket, but I did call it with Andy Bunker last Thursday before everything tipped off. I just had that feeling that if we were going to get close to a 16 seed beating a 1, which I had the feeling would happen sometime soon, I was just hoping that I would be able to live to see it happen. Then it would likely be this year, and it would be Virginia. So I did get that right, but I didn't put it on my freaking bracket.
Well, wait a second, Deshaun. Two things. First off, your team is Michigan State, and I picked them too. So, yeah, thanks a lot for that. Secondly, live to see it. You're going to live another 50 years, dude. You're going to be fine. You're going to see a lot happen.
The NCAA tournament, I don't think a 16 seed, but the NCAA tournament has existed since 1939, and it's never happened. So I like to definitely think I'll be living another 50 years.
True.
I'm just not sure if that's one of those things that we'll ever see.
So we have a final four. We have a South Region 4 coming to us in Atlanta that is shocking, Deshaun, because here in Atlanta on Thursday, the South Region Sweet 16, the four teams do not include the number 1 seed Virginia, the number 2 seed Cincinnati, the number 3 seed Tennessee, and the number 4 seed Arizona. That has never happened before. When they went to this in 1979, the year of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, to this arrangement in terms of the NCAA tournament, there's never been a year that all four of the top seeds in a region did not make to the Sweet 16. And that's what we have in the South this year.
Yeah, it's just crazy to think about it, man. When you're talking about teams like Loyola, and obviously Kentucky's going to be the biggest draw. I mean, they were going to travel as a fan base no matter where the games were going to be played. But, I mean, we almost seen UMBC get in, which, I mean, Kansas State is a little bit better, I would imagine. But I would like to think a lot more people would come out if UMBC was probably in it instead of Kansas State, just because everybody wants to see, you know, if this 16 seed could do something like what George Mason did back in 2006. However, the draws are the draws, and all the people that are there, they won their games. And I'll tell you one thing. You hear Coach Calipari every single year really upset about the draw that he got each and every single year. I don't think Coach Cal is doing too much complaining right about now.
You know, speaking of UMBC, how were they able to beat Virginia the way that they did? They beat them like by 20 points. How were they able to pull that off?
Well, they beat them at their own game. They play really hard-nosed defense. Of course, it took some luck. And you just got to hit big-time shots on a consistent basis. Kind of reminds me a little bit of what Middle Tennessee State did a couple years back to Michigan State. I mean, shots were just falling. I like to think that whoever UMBC was playing on that night was going to, you know, be the recipient of that. However, the thing that hurt probably Virginia more than anything is that they slowed the ball down and played this half-court offense and really don't get a shot up until the last couple seconds left on the shot clock. And that wasn't going their way, you know, this time. And so when you get put in a position where you're down by 20 and you don't know how to do much else, kind of like Syracuse with that zone, if they're down 40, they don't come out of that zone. They stick with it. That's how Virginia is when it comes to their offense. And you put them in a position where you're down 20 with minutes left to go, they're uncomfortable with speeding up the pace to get back in the game. And I think ultimately that's what did them in.
Deshaun Tate is our NCAA and March Madness expert. Everybody that's in the 16 has a story to tell about their tournament run so far. Villanova probably the overall favorite with an incredibly dominating second half performance from Mikal Bridges and the way they shot the lights out of it. Clemson just ran Auburn off the court. Syracuse now three wins in 5 days to go up against Duke. But I start to look around at these matchups in the Sweet 16, and there are two that I find intriguing, Kansas and Clemson. You can talk about that in a moment. But I want to talk about what I think is the most intriguing. And Hugh was talking about it earlier, and he's right. This A&M team that ran North Carolina off the floor, they look like a team that is starting to peak and could win a national title up against a Michigan squad that has been as hot as any team in the entire nation. That game has me more interest to me than any other, I think, that's on the board.
Well, I'm not sure that I'll go that far as saying that they can win the national title. However, I guess there's 16 teams that can win the national title as long as they show up and hit shots. But, you know, the interesting thing here that I noticed is that, you know, I was curious to know who would be last year's South Carolina this year, you know, because I don't think anyone's seen that coming last year. Who has the best chance? In the last 4 years, we've seen a 7 seed or lower make it all the way to the Final Four. Last year, South Carolina as a 7, 2016, Syracuse as a 10, 2015 was Michigan State as a 7, and 2014 was Kentucky with Julius Randle as an 8 seed. And I felt like if anybody could be that team to do it, I thought Seton Hall could be that team, and also Texas A&M, hence why I put them on my bracket all the way to the Elite Eight, not the Final Four. But when you have guys that you have experience and they're really big, how they beat Carolina, you've got to be able to be a monster on the boards and play really tough, hard-nosed defense, which is another thing that they did against Carolina last night. But they got a really good team between Fabian Flagg, who's a 5-star freshman, as well as Tyler Davis, who's been their guy all year long. There's another guy, Williams. I can't think of his first name, right? Robert Williams, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Coming into the year, Texas A&M was a top five, definitely top 10 ranked team in the preseason, and Robert Williams was a top five lottery pick. Obviously, that didn't uphold between him and the team, but they're getting it together at the right time. DJ Hogan's a transfer. He's playing really well. The team's playing well. I'm not sure if I believe in Coach Billy Kennedy just yet. From a standpoint of not being vulnerable to being out-coached. However, he's doing a good job so far, and going up against Michigan, it almost kind of feels like a toss-up.
You know, you're talking about another team who you're talking about Texas A&M and the two big men, Hogg and Williams. They were a big factor in that. But it was another team who benefited from having another big man out there, Matt Harms for Purdue. Do you see Purdue as one of those sleeper teams that could potentially go all the way with their size?
I mean, I've been really hard on a few teams this year that have obviously proved me wrong this year, you know, to be quite honest with you. Kansas State, Clemson, Auburn, Texas Tech, Purdue was one of those teams. Syracuse, who I didn't believe should have been in either. And without having your big man, Isaac Haas, who I don't think is really the most agile or give you the most lateral movement over Hines. I mean, he has the experience that Hines doesn't have, and Hines doesn't really have the frame that Haas has, but you have to just kind of give credit to a Purdue team who came in really well and in a short turnaround time without their main player and be able to put it all together, you know, for 40 minutes. And they've got experience out there, especially with a guy by the name of Dakota Mathias, who is a really good shooter. And they've got the experience, and I think that's something that ultimately has pushed them over the top. It'll be really interesting to see how things go between them and the next game.
We're talking with DeShaun Tate. Certainly the number one seeds on one side of the bracket, Villanova and Kansas, are the favorites, though Clemson is peaking at the right time. That's an interesting game, Kansas and Clemson. This Clemson team presents a lot of trouble for a Kansas club that, you know, I'll give him credit for getting to this point, but even Bill Self admitted on the selection show he's not sure what he's going to get out of his club on a day in, day out basis, and maybe they could be in a little bit of trouble.
I'm going to be honest with you. This is a team in Kansas that has kind of surprised me a little bit. I don't think it surprised anyone, regardless of how competitive that the Big 12 was this year. A lot of people thought that they were the best conference. I think it's fair to say they were probably the most competitive conference. But they won their 14th consecutive regular season championship. That broke UCLA and John Wooden's record of most consecutive in the regular season. And then in a situation where they typically don't play well in the conference tournament, they won that too. And now they're in this position where they can win a national championship. I mean, everybody talks about the elite program that they are, and I definitely agree with that. However, it had been 20 years from 88 with Danny and the Miracles all the way up until 2008 when they won national championship. Now, 10 years later, I start kind of questioning, because if there's not one team entering the NCAA tournament every single year that you can pretty much count on, or can't count out, rather, to win a national championship, going into Selection Sunday, it's usually Kansas, because they look so strong and look so good, but they've underachieved. This year, they've kind of, you know, overachieved, in my personal opinion. I think that they're vulnerable, though. Clemson is a good team. When you beat up on a conference champion by 31 points, you know, that's going to be hard to argue. And Clemson may have to shoot 47% from the field again. I don't think that that's necessarily a stretch, because Kansas is thin up front. However, they must defend the perimeter, because Devontae Graham is a really good three-point shooter, along with Gerald Vick. And Clemson has 50 rebounds against Auburn. I think that's something else that can potentially be possible against Kansas again, because they're so thin up front.
DeShaun, do appreciate your taking a few minutes, and we look forward to talking to you throughout the tournament. Here we go with the Sweet 16. Thanks, Bub.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, DeShaun Tate is our NCAA.
Boy, he has a plethora of knowledge.
He knows a lot about
it. He knows a lot about that college basketball. He breaks that thing down. Shout out to DeShaun Tate.
And you can follow him at Tate, Take Sports. It is he's a good guy, and somebody we love having around here. Yeah, this is really interesting. I mean, because I was just looking at this thinking, out of the South, out of what's coming here in Atlanta, if Kansas State beats Kentucky, don't you Kentucky fans laugh now, okay? But if Kansas State upsets Kentucky,
well, that's going to be bad.
We could have Kansas State versus Loyola, and one of those two teams is going to the Final Four. Whew, wow. I don't think
anything can happen. Man. Anything can happen. I don't see that happening, though. I mean, you know, you get those teams that come in, and you know, they, like, you might have somebody underestimate them.
Hey, don't underestimate the nun now. She's got it going. Sister Jean got it working. That Loyola team. There's something special there. He's like a god on their side or something. When we get back, some of the stories that we missed in the Wendy's Zone as we continue on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're giving away $300,000. Listen weekdays from 6 a.m. till 5 p.m. for the code word. Hear it, and you have until the top of the next hour to text the code word to 72881. If we select you, you win $1,000.
The National Signing Bonus.
Listen all day to win on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, I have to give Bo some credit for the first story, because he was watching this video this morning that was cracking him up, so wondering what he was watching. And did you guys know the 25th anniversary of The Sandlot will be on April the 1st? It came out in April 1st, 1993.
Come on, you killing me, Smalls?
Killing me, Smalls.
Yeah.
And Wendy Peppercorn.
Pepper.
I said that peppercorn. I made a mistake over the weekend because a reference from The Sandlot came up, and I said Wendy Peppercorn. Because as a kid, that's what I remember. I thought it was peppercorn. I didn't hear the F. I didn't hear peppercorn. But anyways, the 25th anniversary on April the 1st, but the Milwaukee Brewers celebrated it by reenacting one of the most famous scenes in the movies. I'll play a little bit of it, but I did tweet it out at 929 The Game. Here's what it sounded like.
Call that pitching?
This is baseball, not tennis. Here's something I can hit.
All right, Boat, this is my heater. I dare you to hit it.
You'll be sorry.
You want the heater? I'll give you the heater.
Give him a basketball. Maybe then he'll hit it. Yeah! That's
how you do it. Boat, idiot, now we can't play no more.
Hit me with the heater. Blow it outside. Looks like I like it.
Wait a sec. I'll get it.
Called shot by the Bees.
No!
So the whole clip is about 2 minutes and 35 seconds, and it is worth watching. I know Bo was watching it this morning. He laughed at it.
Yeah, that's probably it's only, that might be one of the ones you got to watch.
Talking to me, because I've never seen it.
You never seen it?
What? I've never seen it either.
What?
No. I've never seen The Sandlot.
Do I look like I would watch The Sandlot?
Seriously?
No.
So we've had two classics. In the last, 2 weeks, Wendy?
Yes.
Varsity Blues and The Sandlot.
I haven't seen Varsity Blues, but The Sandlot.
I haven't seen Varsity Blues either.
So you guys had no idea what I was playing.
I've seen Varsity Blues. I remember that, but that's what I'm saying. It has to be one of the ones you got to actually see.
I guess I could honestly say I haven't seen every movie
I remember
ever made.
You're Killing Me Small. You're Killing Me Smalls was like on a t-shirt.
Right.
I do remember that one because it was on a t-shirt.
So, John, you didn't know what You're Killing Me Smalls meant?
No, I mean, I don't know what it means.
Do you feel bad that you didn't know John Fricke? You should.
Yes, you all should.
You all should, absolutely, because this is one of the movies that at least I've seen.
Shame.
And it's about baseball in the 60s and kids playing baseball in the 60s.
Shame on you, John.
If Wendy has seen the movie and y'all haven't, you should feel ashamed.
Yeah, shame on you.
Shame on you,
see
John
the fish
Fricke.
That say Pittsburgh?
Have I seen what?
The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
Is that a popular movie?
I'm going to say no, Ghost Rider.
Is that a popular movie?
It's very popular.
It's very popular.
I've seen that movie.
Now, wait a minute. Y'all get off of Wendy now. This is not right.
I haven't seen every movie ever made. I'm sure The Sandlot's a fine film. I'm sure it's also not
Rocky.
No, it's
pretty good. Yeah,
it's not Miracle.
Kidding?
It's
Are
not,
you kidding me?
Not one of the great sports films of all time.
First off, it's not that kind of movie. It's a lighthearted sports film. It's actually a film about a young boy growing up and how baseball changed his life in that neighborhood, and he made friends. So let's not go too far, John, just because you feel embarrassed because you haven't seen it.
I'm not embarrassed. I can't
you
see
should
every.
Feel embarrassed.
Oh, you can't
it's been
call
out
anybody out,
years, John.
Wendy Adams,
it's
for
been
not.
Out, it's been yeah. 25
Wait
years,
a second.
And I have seen the
Rocky,
movie.
Rocky? No, you haven't seen Rocky. Rocky.
You don't got to take this, John Fricke.
You haven't even seen Chairs of Fire.
Yes, he does.
Have you seen Chairs
so
of Fire?
You know what? I tried to watch. Hey, I got to tell you,
I
tried to watch Chairs of Fire again about 10 years ago. It was kind of dull, I have to say.
Some movies, full disclosure, some movies
don't age
need
long.
To be left in the past.
Yeah.
Some movies definitely need to be left in the past because they move too slow for nowadays. But shame on you, John Fricke, for
Breaking Away was the same way. Breaking Away is a little slow.
So, John,
that bike movie?
Yeah.
Oh, please. That was horrible.
Yeah, you wouldn't get their tribute unless you've seen the movie particular scene. So maybe you should watch The Sandlot and then watch the clip that I posted at 929 The Game on Twitter.
Maybe.
Well, the UCF Knights football team finished the season undefeated. Didn't make the college football playoff. Claimed their national champions anyway. Had a parade, trophy presentation, commemorative license plates, et cetera, et cetera. Well, on Sunday, the school of the actual football champions, Alabama, took on UCF in the WNIT. Crimson Tide won the game 80-61. And Alabama AD, Greg Byrne, proceeded to troll UCF with the following tweet. So it is a graphic of the 80-61 score of Crimson Tide beating UCF. And he said, "Great win today over UCF for Alabama women's basketball. We're not ready to make it more than it was and schedule a Disney parade, but we'll definitely take it. #RollTide." Well, then UCF AD Danny White had a response of his own. Our policy has been to schedule Disney parades when we win New Year's Day bowl games. We've won two in the last 5 years, the most recent in 2017, when we were the only undefeated team in America and national champions. If y'all want to have a parade for WNIT wins, more power to you.
Oh, ouch.
So now we are back and forth between UCF and Alabama yet again.
That's pretty awesome. I respect that level of petty. There are some levels of petty that I bear witness to.
Yeah,
I bear witness to that.
Still
to that this weekend, but I respect that. I respect that level of petty.
Yeah, I was hoping UMBC would win last night. Not that I have anything against Kansas State, but only because UMBC's Twitter was winning over the weekend.
They were tremendous.
That UMBC's Twitter, their Twitter, UMBC Athletics, it's worth going to read. There are certain Twitters you should follow that are just really solid, like Wendy's.
Wendy's Twitter is off the chain great. Is the top Twitter accounts.
Wendy's Twitter.
Ever.
You would love Wendy's Twitter. They are so petty.
Oh, yeah. It's,
so
yes.
petty. Like, they tweet, like, other food chains.
Yeah, they go after McDonald's hard.
Yeah. All the time. Their Twitter is definitely petty, being petty is where it's at nowadays.
Petty is winning. Petty is winning. And say what's on your mind for the most part. And leaving it on Twitter. Like, leave it on the Twitter. But, yeah, that's pretty cool.
But, like John said, if you haven't seen UMBC's Twitter, definitely go there. But speaking of UMBC, obviously beating Virginia, the number one seed, first time it's ever happened. Mark your calendars 2 weeks from today because Little Caesars sent out a tweet before that game saying if a 16 seed beats a one seed, they'd give everyone in the country a free lunch combo. So on April the 2nd, you get a personal deep dish pizza and a bottle of soda for free between 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. So in 2 weeks, you can have free lunch. Thanks,
too. See, they put it out 2 weeks, everybody will forget.
Nah, come on. Nobody gonna forget about no free food, nah. It's just that you got to find one. I mean, you know, like, I'll have to go find a Little Caesars. If I want to partake in that one, I would have to actually ride around and find one.
There's one in the West End where you get your oils.
Is that right?
It sure is.
You can get oils
and
a pizza.
Do I feel like going to West End on a specific day like that? Yeah. I might do that.
Oils and a pizza.
That's the move.
Oils.
Oils. And a soda.
And Rick and John. We are at the top of the hour on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.